You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Heyo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox post-game show, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome into Studio B. B stands for bums today, here in the West Loop of Chicago, in our downtown studios in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean underscore W underscore Anderson. You know, we kind of just baffle, and this is Herb Lawrence.
Hey.
You can follow him on Twitter at Eckernroll23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leaders. Shout out to Steven Nicholas for producing us today. we kind of baffle at, you know, pitchers losing their mechanics and, you know, one day just not being able to throw strikes. Yet I, a little podcast hoster, can't even understand what I say every single day. I mean, my month of May has been probably 14 and 15. Is that the Sox record in May?
15 and 14.
Oh, above 500. Hey, we could give him a goose honk and a little clap. Yeah, look at that. As Herb cracks a goose IPA. We're coming to you live after a White Sox loss, 12-5. Yikes. We'll talk about how ugly this game was. We'll go to the super chat first, but make sure hitting that like button while you join us.
Hit the thumbs up. I don't know if you guys can see that. That goose is giving you a thumbs up. Huh. So you should give us a thumbs up.
Look at that, boss. We got
I got a Pro Max. How much money do you think I got, Nick?
Hold on. Nick, my man, I'll show you my phone. Steven, can I just put my phone up to the camera and will it fuck it up? This is great for audio listeners, too.
Nick, I'm not rich. I would only have an iPhone 12. This guy, Rich Sean, has a Pro Max.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, like, hey, everybody needs a new phone, you know? I mean, Herb's working. It's clean.
It's a 12.
It's fine.
Mini.
Anyways, we're going to Husky Bardo. Thank you for the $5 super chat. Best thing for this disastrous year would be for the Twins to start winning and burying the Sox for everyone's sake. This rebuild failed. 100% right. And no offense, Husky Bardo, I do feel like you super chatted the same thing last year. So I do appreciate it. I agree with you. It would be great for somebody to take the reins of the AL Central. But even though the White Sox, our loved, beloved Chicago White Sox, are the good guys in black, are, 12 games under 500? They're only 6.5 games back out.
Correct.
Of first place. So I get it, but I mean, this, even though they lost this series, nothing really dissuaded me. I mean, today was an ugly loss, but oh well. I mean, what do you take away?
I mean, what we saw last weekend in Detroit kind of, you know, pushed me in one direction. I was like, this Detroit, they're not good. We talked about Detroit. They lost mostly all their starting pitchers, and they still dominated the White Sox this weekend. And then you see what happened today. I mean, I am just marveling at the greatness that's on the other side, and I couldn't imagine being an Angels fan and being sad. Yes, you don't make the playoffs ever, but to see Shohei Ohtani, to see Michael Nelson Trout every day, it's an honor. It's a privilege to be in that same stadium. On Monday, when I was in that same stadium with those two greats, I was like, there's nothing wrong with life right here. This is the greatness that's in before me. And I got to see Liam Hendricks come back. So, yeah, I know the White Sox thing is really messing us up, but I choose to be happy. And, yeah, I wish the same thing, Stefan. I wish one of these teams was actually good and buried the White Sox so they can make definitive moves. No half measures, as they will at the trade deadline, because they'll still be within 10 games at least of the Twins, Guardians, or Tigers, whoever is in first place by that time. But we know that's not going to happen. We know the White Sox are going to win some games in June, probably go 14-15 in June just to change things up, to get back to 500 for these 2 months. But we know no one's going to run and hide away from us. And, you know, this team is going to make you look good every once in a while. We felt great after they win. They won the game. We're like, oh, man, here come the White Sox.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we said that ever.
And then
we were on for an hour 15 yesterday. I don't think we ever said, hey, oh, man, here comes the White Sox.
But we were on for an hour 15, though. We were talking about, like, rebuilds and what if this doesn't work and what are we doing at the trade deadline. Like, the fact that we're talking about that just makes me sick.
Oh, okay.
It just makes me ill that we have to decide, like, are they going to trade everybody off or are they going to push it? They're going to push it because I think trading everybody off or trading majority of the people off signals a rebuild or retooling at least. And then I would love for the two guys who are in charge of that to be left off, but we know that's not going to happen.
Right. And I mean, the one thing it was reminiscent of, I mean, I think you talked about the kid. There was a kid that made a great catch.
Oh, yeah. He was wearing a Steve Stone or a Jason Benetti fan club shirt.
And then I think you also saw some kid sitting behind home plate and was like, oh, man, great seats for a bad game or something like that.
I was like, they're wasting seats, the scout seats on that kid.
Wasting scout seats on that kid. Yeah. So Herbie Sunshine is out in full force today.
I mean, scout seats, you get free drink and eat. Kids, that's $200+ for those seats. Kids ain't going to eat or drink $200 worth of food.
You know, maybe it's a nice birthday present, Herb, but Jesus Christ.
I mean, God bless his parents.
So,
congratulations, kid. You hit the lottery.
Herbie, let's take you back. Look at me, okay? And then, Steven, show me. All right, so look at me.
I see you.
And then look at me. There's the graphic I sent you. Didn't I send you the graphic of a photo of me? I'm sorry, I didn't know. Oh, shit. All right, well, we're waiting.
That's fine. We can talk about...
It's okay. No, I mean, I was trying. It's okay, Steve. I mean, it's okay. I want you to scramble a little bit. It's still fine. Here, see? It's here.
I see it.
I'm trying to just make Herb feel... I'm Irish. And the biggest thing that we want people to feel is not love. It's shame and guilt.
Let me figure out which one you are.
Well, hold on. Oh, I think it's easy. Look for the backwards hat. So, yeah, go back to me. So, Herb. Yep. Look at me.
Yep. Sean.
And then look at me and tell that kid that the ticket was a waste on him.
It was a waste on you, kid, because you can't drink beer or liquor, and you're probably going to drink only like $30 worth of food.
Okay.
And I could sit my punk ass in section 115.
I wasn't sitting scout seats.
Yeah.
But that was me and my cousins when we went to at least my first Sox game. And guess who they played?
The Angels.
The Angel. All right. 2004, Wednesday, July 7th, our 42-38 White Sox, wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, man.
Took on the 44-39 Angels. I guess, you know, you could subtract a win and loss from each of those teams, and that's the actual records going into the game.
Garrett Anderson, Tim Salmon type of years.
Well, we could talk about the lineup, and we're definitely going to talk about our guy Garrett Anderson.
I know John Lackey was on that team. He didn't come there for a haircut.
Jared Washburn was also on that team. He started. Lineup for the Angels, David Eckstein at shortstop, Sean Figgins at third base, Garrett Anderson in center field, Vlad Guerrero in right field, Jose Guillen in left field, Darren Erstad at first base, Tim Salmon at DH, Benji Molina at catcher, and Adam Kennedy at second base. Jared Washburn pitched a complete 9-inning shutout. We'll get to that. Lineup for the Sox, Juan Uribe at second base, Aaron Rowan in center field, Carlos Lee El Caballo in left field, Paul Konerko at first base, Joe Creedy at third base, Jose Valentin
at
shortstop, Jamie Burke, everyone's guy.
Got ran over that year.
At TH, thank God. Jamie Burke has a higher OPS in July of this year than Andrew Benintendi does. Wow. And they didn't give Jamie Burke $75
million. Well, Jamie Burke that year signaled the trading of Carlos Lee. So I believe, and I don't know if Kenny spoke about it, Jamie Burke got trucked by Torrey Hunter on a play at the plate. Jamie Burke was a catcher. Torrey Hunter came home, ran him over, scored a run, blah, blah, blah. There was a opportunity for Carlos Lee to take out the second baseman either that night or the night after, and he didn't do it. Ozzie was pissed at him. Kenny was pissed at him. And that's, I think, was the wheels in motion for getting Carlos Lee off the team and bringing Scott Pacetic and Luis Vizcaino to the White Sox. So, in an odd way, Jamie Burke got us a World Series championship. Thanks, Jamie.
We should find Jamie Burke.
He's probably watching.
He probably is. Timo Perez in right field. Evan Sandy Alomar at catcher. Scott Schoenweiss started the game.
Said his name wrong.
Your Chicago White Sox. What?
Schoenweiss.
Hohenweiss? That's right. I got you.
No, former Angel Scott Schoenweiss, too.
Yes, it was.
That 2004 team should have won the AL Central that year, but Maglio Ordonez got hurt. Frank Thomas got hurt. That team really got really bad after that. I think they still won 80-plus games.
Sounds like your Chicago White Sox in 2023, yep. But they're not winning 80 games. Coming in relief, Felix Diaz, Michael Jackson, and not that one, and John Adkins, who I'm pretty sure is a country singer.
Something like that. Yeah.
Main point, though, is my beloved White Sox. I was a Cub fan at the time. First White Sox game that I went to. Yep. You know, the White Sox probably won that game in crazy fashion, and I probably fell in love with the team that way. Sam's talking about masochists enjoy themselves. First White Sox game I saw, 12-0 loss. Angels kicked their ass. Garrett Anderson hit a home run. Jose Guillen hit two. Jose Guillen hit a double two for fucking great measure. A three extra base day for Jose Guillen. The White Sox got four hits. Sounds like the team that I'm covering today. 12-5 loss. That kid sitting in scout seats. Hey, that could have been, you know, backwards hat Sean Anderson right there. That could have been Jason Benetti fan club out there. All I'm saying is you never know. I mean, those kids could be listening to the podcast in 5 years. Hey. They could be hosting the podcast in 20 years. I mean,
20.
Think about in 20 years. I mean, there's probably going to be 2,000 White Sox podcasts coming to you from every single home.
Hopefully. Hey, the more the merrier. I'm not saying it against the kid. I'm just saying, hey, parents, you know, do some wise financial moves. That kid's not going to eat what he's worth on that stadium right there. Get him on some dugout seats. Feed him all the cotton candy you want. I guarantee it won't be $200. I just like financially be a little bit better. Come on, parents. I'm telling parents what to do too.
Hey,
as a person, yeah, as a child, this person.
We'll see. I also love too. I mean, you were lambasting that mother of the guy who is in the Jason Benetti fan club shirt for even letting him be there in the ninth inning and being like, oh, it's a bad game. I'd be traffic.
I'm literally one of the first White Sox games I left early. They were getting housed by the Toronto Blue Jays. Left the game. And got to see Scottie Pippen leave the game at the same time. Okay. He was in a car. And he got ghost real quick. He was the good Scottie, not the current Scottie. Yeah. Maybe he was always the Scottie. But, I left that game early, like in the seventh inning. I was like, nah, I ain't watching this leave. But hell, good luck to that kid and his mom. Staying the whole nine innings of a 12-5 beatdown by the Angels against the White Sox. After a while, we've had so many of these games this year already. We're on a third of the season through. And we've had so many flush it games. I guarantee you, Pedro's going, well, we'll flush it. We can have an off day, blah, blah, blah. Enjoy Chicago. But how many more are we going to have until they right the ship or they do something else? Because this is going to continue. I know they could still win the Central. And as you said, 6.5 games is nothing because this league sucks or this division sucks. But I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being in the same spot every year and this being the same thing. Like 15-14, if they did that in April and they do it in May, yeah, I'll be like, at this time, I'm like, baby, the White Sox are probably in first place. They continue doing it all 6 months, they'll be six games over 500 and probably win this division. But we know that's not going to happen because they had such a shite April. So this is going to not end in, I believe, in an AL Central championship. So it's a fruitless exercise that we're going to be doing for the next 4 months of talking about this fucking team, how bad they are. I want them to shit or get off the pot. And I'm sorry, kids, if you're watching. I'm going to cuss today because I'm mad. They need to make a decision quicker than the trade deadline. Just either go all in, get better players, trade some people who are, you know, on this core that you, you know, maybe don't feel like they can go anywhere. Or you're just like, oh, that player's doing well. Maybe trade them. Maybe trade a lot of these players away. Or go and trade for some players from some of that minor league depth that you really don't have. But if some other team likes your minor league depth and you have a player out there that's available to come to this White Sox team, do it before July, because there's going to be a lot of other teams in the hunt to get players. When you were asking me yesterday, like, hey, look at a player that might be available for the White Sox in the deadline, I'm like, there's like five teams that I could say definitively they are going to be trading players away. All the rest are going to be going for it, because there's some teams that are playing better than they expect. D-backs are playing better than they expect. Pirates are playing better than they expect. Reds are still in it because they're playing a garbage league.
I mean, there's still 2 months left of baseball, though. I mean, and we really won't see any action. I mean, I really doubt the White Sox are going to go out and set the market. But they shouldn't, because if what you're saying is that, I mean, really just proves the nickname that our guy, and I guess he's really no one's guy, Rick Hahn, hates. I mean, that's Teflon as hell. If he gets another shot,
he will.
Do
you think he's going to be fired? Do you truly believe he's going to be fired?
No, but I don't understand what you're doing. And that's the thing, is like, what are you actually trying to do as a business, as a baseball team? And I think, like, there's probably the A's, the White Sox, kind of the Royals, but I think the Royals are just pretty poor and they're just kind of in their early raise stage. Like, I feel like they're kind of a giant. That could happen.
Yeah.
I don't think they're young stupid players.
Yeah.
Right. Like, basically, I view a baseball season as a race across America. And all of these teams, they can either walk, they could take public transportation if they think that's smart, they could build a car. And hey, you know, maybe they get creative. I feel like, especially the White Sox, they're like, every time we're building a rocket ship. And it's just, here we go. We're in flight, and now we're in free fall. And I feel like what you are screaming and pleading for is for the second engines or whatever to finally turn on and save them. Every year, they launch this ship, and it comes crashing down.
Yeah.
It's a failure every single year. I think we should start firing the guy who's making the strategy.
Oh,
that's,
man,
just my bold hot take here.
Please.
I mean, like, I don't understand. Like, I know what the White Sox are clearly doing. Like, right now it seems that what's important to ownership is angling the team for a sell. There's been reports from Cranes, I think, of last year about Jerry looking to buy more stake of the White Sox.
Yeah.
Now we see him buying all of Stadium. We haven't talked about this yet, but that's not super surprising, because I think there was either a report from Jeff Agris or one of the media guys, whether it be Cranes, talking about the White Sox wanting to start their own media company. That would be great if the White Sox had their own games and the Bulls on, you know, their own network, and that could be a selling point to, you know, an investor of a new owner. So we'll see. Vinny's joining us, so we'll talk about Lance Lynn, and what everyone's talking about is DFA. We will talk with Vinny right after the break. Want to let you know about our friends over at Omaha Steaks, though. I already talked about it, and I already showed off my steaks because I was so damn proud of myself. But we got a lovely gift from our friends over at Omaha Steaks, and this would make a fantastic, fantastic Father's Day memory of giving or receiving Omaha Steaks. Maybe you drop a hint to the wife, like, hey, hon, you know, you use this code, get $30 off. Be a nice gift for me, the grill, the family. You know, if you got a family of four, they give you four burgers, they give you four steaks, they give you four chicken, they give you four pork, and they give you a little dessert as well.
And if you have a typical dad, I'm sure if you buy that for him, he's going to grill it up himself. His own meal for the family, he's going to grill it up himself. So all you got to do is buy the package, and you got dinner, because your dad's going to be out there hooking it up. There it is, Sean.
You don't have any kids.
I have zero kids.
I don't have any kids, but if you were my kid, this would be your dinner.
Yeah, it would be.
If you gave me the Father's Day box, mm-hmm, from Omaha Steaks. So shout out to our friends over at Omaha Steaks. It was a fantastic.
I like your balanced meal there too. You had some greens, some starch, some potatoes. Look at you, like an adult.
Whether he's your father, father-in-law, or father figure, like Herb, He's the guy who is always ready to step up when you needed him the most. This Father's Day, show him the love with the only gift that's unforgettable, as he is the mouth-watering perfection of Omaha steaks, from perfectly aged, oh-so-tender steaks that I cooked rare and medium-rare for the wife. Cooked it up right. To hand-selected gift packages, Omaha Steaks makes it easy to give dad what he really wants. Order today and get $30 off with promo code CHGO SOX, S-O-X, and every purchase is backed by their unconditional money-back guarantee. Minimum order may be required. See site for details. Go to omahasteak.com and enter CHGO SOX for $30 off. It said... Okay, we're all good. I'm just, I feel like I just, it said, there's a certain part of the read. This is the bad part about being live. There's a certain part of the read, and I feel like I did it wrong. Vinny's in the waiting room. I should move on. Pins and Aces are our friends. If you are a golfer like our producer, Steven, Pins and Aces is the official golf apparel partner of All City and CHGO. We love our Pins and Aces gear and get tons of compliments on and off the course. They are a family-owned golf apparel business, and they make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, and even our favorite beer sleeve, an innovative product that allows you to store 7 beers right inside your bag and keep cold drinks cold the entire round. Who wouldn't want to have one of those in their bag? A buddy has one of their in their bag. You can get a 15 pack of Goose Island, our friends over at Goose Island, and you have a beer for yourself because your friend can, you know, go kick rocks. But he has 7 beers in his bag. You bought the case.
It's cold.
But check out pinsandaces.com and use code CHGO to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com. Steven, I know your favorite is the liquor stick, though.
Yes, definitely. Smoothest pour, takes it on the course, easily hidden.
What is it?
You could fill up to 750 milliliters of whatever drink you want. In my case, it was vodka. Brought my own Sprite and cans. Put it in the beer sleeve, actually.
Look at you.
And then mixed drinks on the course. All 18 holes.
Boom. So before we went on that tangent about, you know, selling and rebuilding and all that, we were talking about just the White Sox getting their ass kicked by the Angels and, you know, Jose Guillen having a nice day. He hit 2 home runs. Garrett Anderson hit a home run. Sounds a lot like today in the game that Vinny Duber was at. Shohei Ohtani hit 2 home runs today. Mike Trout hit a home run today. Shohei Ohtani hit 3 homers this series, and they went an average distance of 440 feet. So before we get all to the bad, the scary, the yikes with Lance Lynn and the White Sox, Vinny, I mean, these are some of the best players in our game. Was it a different crowd with these superstars here? Did you notice any, you know, intensity when the opposing team was up? Different intensity when the opposing team was up? And we saw some Goliath homers today, so I don't know if you were just, you know, jaw drop, jaw gape? What is it? Anyways, start talking. You're fine. Sorry.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Hey, Vinny?
Listen, we talked on our Monday show, right, about the whole bucket list, who would you want to see kind of thing, and to be able to see Trout and Ohtani for in the same lineup 3 nights in a row, and then to see a game like this. I mean, I think I reminisced about a game I was at as a youngster where both Sosa and McGuire homered in the same game. How about to be able to say you were at this one where you saw 2 from Ohtani and 1 from Trout? I mean, we're talking about guys who could go down as 2 of the very, very best baseball players ever to live. So to be able to say that you were at this one, that's pretty good. And a lot of people were here for that reason. A lot of Angels gear in the crowd today, be it just Ohtani or the Angels in general. But, you know, Team Japan jerseys with Ohtani's name on the back. There were a lot of people who were here to see that guy. You almost wish that the South Side could have gotten one of his starts so that more folks could have come out and seen him do the other half of his game that is so amazing. But, you know, obviously it didn't go against the or it didn't go for the team that we covered, but to be here and see Ohtani do that, I don't think anybody would be completely mad, 100% mad, even if they were rooting for the White Sox, because they got to walk away having seen that.
There's no shame in giving up home runs to Trout or Ohtani. Even the extra Ohtani home run for Lance Lynn. At the time, I was like, you know, Ohtani's going to hit home runs. But the thing I had most trouble with is that they kept him in the game until the fourth inning. Did Pedro go over why he wanted just Lance to just wear it today? Like, with the open day tomorrow, I was like, you know, he didn't have it early, and I pretty much saw it, but I don't know what Pedro said about Lance's outing and why he kept him in for the length he kept him in to give up all those 800 runs.
Yeah, there really wasn't much talk about that. I think the idea being that they lost in the way that they did and gave up the number of runs that they did. I think, though, I mean, this is Lance Lynn. And listen, I heard you mention a little bit about the Twitter conversation that's been going on about some folks wanting to see this be the end of his tenure. But that's not going to happen. This is a guy who's not just a established veteran and a guy who's had a lot of success in recent years, but it's a guy who is the leader of this pitching staff, a guy who is one of the leaders on this team. And so I don't think that you're going to see him end up with that sort of fate just because he means a lot to this clubhouse. And listen, too, he's, you know, a guy that's coming off of a stretch of really good starts. We saw that with the rotation in general, and a guy too who's done it before. Obviously the numbers are not looking very good right now, but I asked Pedro Grifol after the game, I go, you know, how do you kind of explain what's happened with Lynn this season? A guy who has had so much success. And Pedro basically cut me off and said, and he will again. He will have that success again. So you can tell right there the confidence that Pedro and this staff and this organization have in that guy, Lance Lynn. I don't think this is going to end the way that some of those quick trigger tweeters might want it to.
Well, and I think that the biggest misunderstanding is, I think the White Sox and obviously Pedro Grifol and Lance Lynn want to be great and return to, you know, their all-star form. Steven Buss tossed you, by the way. Steven said, hey, remember when Vinny said Lance Lynn was going to be top five in Cy Young? And I was like, oh, do you want to bring that up to Vinny yourself and say it like
I
a man?
Said
and
no,
he said,
Vinny.
And he said, no, I want you to bus toss me.
I mean, I will own up to it. I certainly said that. That was very wrong.
Vinny, why did you lie to us?
It wasn't a lie. It was a prediction, and I'm not quite sure that. Here's the thing: you got very spoiled by me calling Justin Verlander's Cy Young last year.
That's why, like, I was optimistic.
It's like the first prediction I've gotten right in a decade. So I don't have a very good track record with that. That was just recency bias on your part.
Honestly, I felt just kind of disappointed in Steven that he just wouldn't bring it up himself and he wanted me to bring it up. I don't care.
Yeah, I wanted Sean to be the bad guy.
Don't look at all my predictions. They're all bad and wrong.
Outside
of that, yeah, I guess. That was easy. But you missed the analogy that I made earlier. Just it's kind of like the White Sox are, again, and I've made it before, but it's just, you know, a spaceship falling down and, you know, you're waiting for those afterburners to kick back on, but it's just going to crash and burn. And even the NBC Sports Chicago broadcast flashed worst record to win a division, 2005 Padres 82-80. Next up, the 73 Mets 82-79. I'll stop there, but even the 2006 Cardinals led by Tony La Russa, oh wait, he's gone, 83-78.
World Series champion.
This team right now is 23-35. Like, I understand the hope from the team to want these guys to bounce back, but they have to get through the season. Lance Lynn is proven to get through a season. The Royals right now are in a rebuild. They paid Jordan Lyles to pitch for them, and he has the highest ERA. Lance Lynn has the second highest ERA for qualified pitchers. Like, the White Sox right now aren't a good baseball team, and I understand that maybe Lance Lynn doesn't make sense for the 2024 White Sox because they might be in a different place and they're rebuilding, but Lance Lynn has proven to pitch, you know, 30 games in a season.
Yeah.
Who do the White Sox have that's even a quad A level to step in and replace Lance Lynn? That's the thing. I mean, I understand he's underperforming. That's clear as day. We can look at his ERA and say, wow, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it kind of ties in with the conversation that we had yesterday, you know, and the conversation that we here at the ballpark had with Rick Hahn on Monday. And if they haven't made up their minds about the direction that the team is going to go once we get another month and a half down the road here, then they haven't made up their mind about what they need out of these guys, right? And so, yeah, what you're saying there is true, but I don't know if they've even reached the point yet where that's the first thing they would offer. I think right now they are focused on Lance and everybody else getting things turned around and trying to make a run at this division title, which we, I think, all agree is not out of the realm of possibility at all. But if this is the way things keep going, if the first 2 months of the season were far from an anomaly, then yeah, you could be talking about Lance in that light, and it would still not end with him being cut loose in any way. So I think he's far too valuable on a number of levels here that, again, people don't necessarily see through their TV screens to have him kind of earn the same fate as some of the guys that have come before him.
There's always the maybe that they'll come back and maybe Lance will bounce back. And obviously, I mean, we know what he was to Kopech and Cease immediately when he came over from Texas. But in the past 220 games, the White Sox are 104-116. All I'm saying, Herb, is I think that we saw enough last year where they went 81-81 where, I mean, I think it's very possible that this team's going to be under 500, right? Like, oh, I mean, if
almost guaranteed.
I mean, it seems like they're more likely to be 10 games under 500 and finish, what, I mean, 75 and 85 around there, than, you know, 81 and 81 or, you know, 82 and 80 like the 2005 Padres were and won that NL West. Like, you know, I think it's very clear what this team has shown us over the past year, and that's why, you know, Tony's not here, right?
They are who they are right now. And so went, what, 15 and 14 in the month of May. Improvement, good, but not great because they started off so poorly. But I wanted to ask you, Vinny, about last night we were talking about, you know, maybe some people getting days off, Yoan Moncada and specifically Pedro decided to play him, and you had some quotes from Pedro why Yoan is playing through this, you know, obvious injury that he has. Why does Pedro and Yoan himself feel the need to play through injury where I thought a day off today with an off day tomorrow would have done him some well, but why did Pedro think that Yoan would be the good, would be good today to play, which he did get a hit. So it's, it worked out that way.
I mean, he's available to play. I mean, I don't know really what else to tell you. He's not so injured that he cannot play, but he is playing injured, I guess, or playing hurt, I guess you could, is a little bit more accurate. He's still dealing with the back thing, and it's not so bad that he has to be on the injured list right now, but it is bad enough that it will affect him minimally at times, or maybe more than minimally at times. I mean, we had Pedro confirm after the game that Eloy Jimenez is going through some leg stuff still, even after he spent all that time while Eloy was out after the appendectomy talking about the silver lining of him getting to rest his legs and coming back and being able to not have to deal with that kind of thing. Well, he's dealing with that kind of thing. We have talked about Tim Anderson and coming back from the knee maybe a little too, or not too quick, just quick, and it's still bothering him there. So Pedro has spent the last few days talking about how much these guys played this month and that no one is at 100% and that everybody is banged up in some regard. Seems to just kind of be life for the White Sox right now. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that every other team in baseball doesn't have this to a degree, but they might have it to a similar degree, to be honest. But right now, if you're just looking at the White Sox, they're not fielding a team of guys who are operating at 100%. There's going to be some more days off in the schedule in June, but here we are at the end of May, and they've got guys who are dealing with nagging things. Yasmani Grandel could be added to that group. So that's just going to keep happening or keep being part of the story. I mean, and we've talked about it. It's basically been part of Yoan Moncada's story for the last 4 years now. That's just life in the big leagues sometimes, and it certainly has been life in the big leagues for these guys.
Yeah, shout out to Justin, too, who with every like is saying a shout out to X player. He's giving a shout out to 20 likes for Ron Karkovice, John Garland, and, of course, Carlos Quinton. He is JB Shook. We love him. So make sure you're hitting that like button so we can, you know, start naming more players. I don't know. That's extremely frustrating to hear. Pedro said that today about Eloy's legs.
Yeah, just now after the game.
I mean, plays one game in right field, and this is what we're hearing. I mean, that was the biggest frustration that. No, but I'm saying after the appendectomy, he's only played one game.
First three games in right field.
Yesterday was the first right. Or has he played three times?
Monday, yeah, Tuesday, we're all in right field. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then my bad. I'm sorry. I think I literally said yesterday on the pregame that, or did we just only do a postgame? I just had my facts wrong yesterday. My bad. All right. So, I mean, I don't know. This is a guy that's played less than 50% of the game since 2020, and we know that he's not an outfielder, and yet here they are putting him in right field for three games, and he's dealing with leg soreness again.
He said he's good enough to play the outfield this weekend as well. Again, it's not. Well, here's the thing, Sean. What do you want? Do you want the guy? If you want the guy to be 100%, that's impossible.
It's impossible. I want him to be the DH.
He's not 100%. Well, that's fine.
That's the big. I don't think I've ever changed that tune. I want him to be the DH. I think it's very clear, and it's always been clear that he's a designated hitter.
No one said. Here's the thing. No one said he's not good enough to play the outfield. He's just hampered. He's affected. He's limited. He's not 100%. And who knows? He might not be the rest of the year. We'll see. We have to see how it evolves. But it doesn't mean that he is so limited that he cannot be put in the outfield. And I understand what you're saying. Why would you take the risk of potentially exacerbating that problem by putting him in the outfield? But maybe that's not part of this equation. You know what I mean? We're not dealing with all the information here. We don't know exactly what's bothering him and how it could be exacerbated if it can be, kind of thing. Or maybe it's just, hey, his legs aren't 100%, they're not going to be, kind of thing.
I can see the frustration in the comments too, and most White Sox fans are, and it's not necessarily a question for you, Vinny, but like after a certain amount of years, like how they do with injuries and deal with injuries has to be one of the factors of how these guys are never healthy. Like it's annoying that every single time I get to see Yoan Moncada, it's 60% Yoan Moncada. It's, I'm dealing with some injury. Eloy Jimenez, Tim Anderson, all of them. So I think it's how either they rehab the guys, how they get them ready, because it's never, I'm coming back and I'm going to be the player I was before I hit the IL. Or even like a couple games in, it's like, okay, I'm back. I'm hitting the ground running and I'm healthy. It's never like that. It's just endless injuries for these guys. And it's just after a while frustrating that no one sees it. They hire new training staff. And it's the same old thing. Same old thing happens after every year. And it's just no one gets fired. No one gets replaced except for the conditioning coach a couple of years ago. But I have to think it has to be with something what they're doing, or the players they're picking are just oft injured or just injury prone, because it can't be. Like other teams deal with injuries, but I never hear other teams like, man, that guy is playing injured every day. That's every White Sox. They play injured all the time.
Well, and two, I mean, we've seen Tim and his struggles. I think it was a great sign today that in a 10-1 game, he hits a bloop down the right field line, and he is running as fast as we've seen. I mean,
Steven approved.
Part of the game. Since that Houston series at the start of the year. So, I mean, it took a while for him to get there, but maybe he's there. But again, we have to question, like, how long will he be there? And you know, not to be too intense about the Eloy thing, but it's just like it seems that, you know, Pedro is obviously getting full control over this roster, but it just feels like he doesn't understand what he's dealing with in Eloy. And I get your point that we'll see how this develops, but pretty sure it just is going to lead to more leg soreness for Eloy Jimenez if he plays the outfield. But we did see with the disparity in the game and the runs, Jake Berger subbed in at second base. It's kind of been like, hey, maybe Eloy will play right field. Maybe Jake Berger will start playing more second base. I don't know if Pedro talked about what Jake did. I don't know if he got enough opportunities even to talk about what Jake did. But, you know, did he address that postgame?
No, not really one of the headlines from today, but certainly he was out there, and we got to see him out there. He made the one play on the ball that was hit to him. But I think the what you're going to look at second base is all of a sudden Romy Gonzalez is hitting. Now he was 0 for today, but all of a sudden Romy Gonzalez is hitting. Elvis Andrus is coming back off the injured list. I mean, what do you – now we've got the same problem at second base perhaps that you had with the whole DH situation. I mean, we asked Pedro about it earlier today before the game started. You know, hey, Romy's hitting well. Elvis is coming back. You've even got Berger practicing out there. Can you mix and match at second base? And he said, I'm not mixing and matching. I'm going to play the guy that's going to give us the best chance to win. If that's Romy playing the way he's playing, then he'll play. If Elvis catches fire when he comes back, then he'll be the one to play. He didn't mention Jake Berger, but it was, you know, it seems like the idea being that he will play the hot hand at second base, that he's going to try to fit these puzzle pieces together, but who knows if they're going to fit together all that well. And you might have some leftover bats and leftover opportunities. You know, today, Jake Berger didn't start. And then he comes in as a late game defensive replacement, hits a home run because that's what he does when he plays games in this ballpark. You know, I mean, but here's the thing. Do you blame him? Somebody's got to sit. Not everybody's going to fit into this puzzle at the same time. So, I mean, Romy Gonzalez hits three home runs in three consecutive games. Do you want Pedro to say, ah, no, too bad. Jake Berger has to go play second base today. I mean, it's a lose-lose situation in the eyes of people who are going to complain about it because they're going to complain either way you go there.
I'm only laughing because literally when Jake Berger hit the home run, he was like, that's what I was saying all game. He was like, he hits home runs at home. Why didn't he start? So you saying that, I was like, oh, that's what Herb was saying.
I mean, I said
like,
it before.
It's like I have two Herbs.
I said it before the game. I put my first thought out there early. He should have been in there for Yoan Moncada today. It would have been the perfect situation, but whatever. You know, rookie manager, Pedro, he's learning.
But only real quick, Andy's saying, I think these guys are just not being professionals, not taking it seriously. I need someone to get mad. Stop celebrating homers when you're losing. Jake Berger hit the home run. They didn't put the stupid coat and hat on him.
Yeah.
So, like, there you go.
They didn't celebrate that
homer. Do you think they're going to start winning games? No, they stink. They stink at baseball. I hate breaking news. That's your headline. Breaking news, the Sox stink at baseball. Maybe it will change. There is possibility that it can change, but I bet you their percentage to make the playoffs is definitely below 1% at this chance.
They're in the right division.
We should check. We need to take a break. Let's take a break, and then we'll let you know about some of our fantastic sponsors. And then we'll talk a little bit about what you got to experience. It was a little bit more CHGO-specific, Vinny, but I know you had some help today filming a very exclusive, secretive interview. But your crew today then tried to do a little challenge where they were doing some innings at the Sox game and then some innings at the Cubs game. So we'll talk about their ventures and our friends over at Game Time. But first, we're going to let you know about Shady Rays. It was a beautiful day here in Chicago. It's starting to see a little bit of cloud move in, but take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. They have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection program in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. And if you don't love your Shady Rays, you can exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Their team always has your back. And Shady Rays Memorial Day sale is still live right now. This is the last day to take advantage. Go to ShadyRays.com and get 35% off all sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by not only 250,000 people, but Herb, Vinny, me. I left mine over there. And Steven. So, I mean, that's 250,000 plus 4. I think that was a 80s one-hit wonder.
250,000 plus 4?
Yeah.
I remember that. Well, 250,000 plus 4.
We also want to let you know about our friends over at FOCO. They gave us this lovely Tim Anderson bobblehead. They also donated a Southpaw bobblehead to our set. You can go check them out at FOCO.com, FOCO.com, or click the link in the description below. They have a fantastic bobblehead selection. You can get lost on their website. So scroll forever and ever on FOCO.com. And when you find something you like, use promo code CHGO for all non-presale items for 10% off. You got hoodies, shoes, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. You'll get fitted with the best sports gear around with our friends over at FOCO, F-O-C-O, and that's promo code CHGO for 10% off any all non-presale items. Again, promo code CHGO for 10% off. Our friends Casey, Emma, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are new, so make sure I get their names right, going slow. Helped you out with your secret exclusive interview. I don't know if you want to name drop. Or I don't know if you want to give a hint. That's your project, Vinny. I'll let you decide there. But with Game Time, their goal or challenge was to see three innings at Guaranteed Rate Field, have a beer and a hot dog there, and then take the red line to Wrigley to see the seventh inning stretch and three innings there, have a beer and a hot dog, buying tickets through Game Time. You cannot stress and buy tickets to your favorite events. It shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. And you can get last-minute tickets, just like Casey, Scott, and Emma rolled up to Wrigley Field, bought last-minute tickets, and rolled into Wrigley with – the best deal out there. So download Game Time today. Create an account and use code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And again, don't stress. Buy them with the best app out there in Game Time. But they did complete their goal. They did get there before the seventh inning stretch and were able to have a beer at both parks and see three innings of baseball. I don't know if you guys have done the red line doubleheader when it's a day game Wrigley or day game at Guaranteed Rate and then a night game at the other park. I don't know if you've ever done anything of this sort.
I have not.
I feel like we saw them leaving while Lance Lynn was pitching in the third. I feel like technically you didn't see three full innings. Not to be a hater.
They saw enough.
I mean, that's like what?
Two and a third.
Right.
But they saw enough. They saw, they were like, all right, third inning is going to be more of the same. Let's bounce and go to Wrigley and see what they're doing. You know, I think they're bad luck. White Sox were losing when they were here, there. Cubs are winning. So they got in that red line, got in that stadium, immediate home runs. Immediate home runs. KC, Scott, and Emma, you guys are the jinx. But, yeah, I think they saw enough baseball from the White Sox and Lance Lynn. We caught them. NBC Sports Chicago's cameras caught them leaving the stadium, and they as they did in the third inning. It was very, very like at the spur of the moment. It's like, right. I guess there were only like 20,000 people there, so everybody got on camera today.
And we got it from both angles. Emma was filming Casey and Scott run up the stairs, and we saw Casey and Scott run up the stairs behind Lance Lynn. So it was all very fitting.
Our guy's key.
I think it was a Ferris Bueller day off. But I don't know if you make anything of it, Vinny.
I thought it was going to be a big challenge. So Casey was here earlier, as you mentioned, helping me out with the interview. We've got Jake Berger on the podcast tomorrow, guys. So make sure you tune in for that one. That's a nice long chat with Jake. But and she was telling me about it, and I'm like, ooh, pitch clock. I don't know. I don't know that. I mean, I think I've ridden the red line before, and it's taken me more than an hour to get from the south side to the north side, or vice versa. That could be half the game in the pitch clock era. But I'm glad they made it. That's a fun accomplishment, a fun thing to do on a Chicago summer day. So I'm glad they made it and got to have a beer on both sides of town. That's always a good thing.
Yeah. Hey, why not? Very, very exciting, and you know, congrats to them. They did it. And I think, too, when they left in the third inning, even though the Sox game started 10 minutes before, I think the Rays and Cubs game was in the fourth. So I kind of understand leaving a little bit early to make sure that, you know, with red line CTA possible issues to get there as soon as possible. All right, let's, too, and thank you, Alec, 4.6% for the Sox to win the division, 4.8% chance for them to make the playoffs. So under 5% chance, but, hey, they have the fourth best odds of any AL Central team to make the playoffs
as they're in fourth place.
Oh, right. Okay. Good point. So we do have a DraftKings King of the Game as well here. And fitting enough, since they did this, oh, look at that. We got a sound effect and everything. Since he drove in an RBI and did the red line doubleheader, our King of the Game is Clint Scott, the intern Frazier. Congratulations. I mean, this is spitting image. I mean, I don't know if Clint Frazier has ever grown his hair out to Scott's level. I also haven't seen Clint Frazier without his helmet on. So does he have Scott's hair, Vinny?
No. Clint's hair is not nearly as majestic. Scott's got him beat on that front.
That's damn true. So shout out to Clint Frazier for pinch hitting for Andrew Benintendi. I was very shocked at it because it was like right after Tim hustled for that double. So I was like, oh, here comes Andrew Benintendi to drive him in. Oh, that's Clint Frazier has red hair. I'm assuming it was because of the score. I'm also assuming that Pedro didn't address it. So we can move on.
It was the start of a mass substitution. If you notice, that was quickly spread to many positions on the field.
It was very noticeable when, who was,
Hanser?
I guess it was Hanser. Anyone else was subbed in? Who else was subbed out?
Well, Frazier came in for Benintendi. Romy moved over for Tim. Berger came in to play second, and Hanser pinch hit for
Moncada. Second. No, right. And when Berger started playing second, I was like, "Oh, something's different." Right. Let's go into the massive home runs today, and then we'll also have an off day show tomorrow, featuring Vinny's exclusive interview with Jake Berger. Vinny's exclusive interview with Jake Berger. We'll also discuss probably rebuilds in some way. But we did see some history today longest home runs at guaranteed rate in the StatCast era. So that's 2015 before today. Our guy, Yermin Mercedes, April 8th, 2021 versus Brad Keller, 485 feet. Nelson Cruz on June 29th, 2019 versus Jose Ruiz, 469 feet. Aloy Jimenez on June 11th, 2019 versus Patrick Corbin, 462 feet. Yoan Moncada, July 3rd, 2019 versus Shane Green, 462 feet. Nelson Cruz, again, July 25th, 2019 versus Giolito, 458 feet. And then Yasmani Grandal, June 3rd, 2021 versus Casey Mize, 457.
Back the 19 ball, please.
Yes. And as you can see here today, some history made as none of those games were in the same day. And now two of the home runs happen in the same game. After today, you see Mike Trout in May. On May 31st of 2023, off of Lance Lynn, same as Shohei Ohtani, 461 for Trout, for Shohei Ohtani, 459. The first reported numbers were like 476, so it was almost a bigger day for the history leaderboard, but massive shots from Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. And again, three homers this entire series for Shohei Ohtani. Three hits, three homers. That's doing damage right there. Miraculous and insane superstars that we're witnessing.
And as we were talking about last night, like, I was kind of disappointed or underwhelmed with Lucas's performance, but he went five innings where he didn't give up too many runs. And we see what this Angels lineup is when it's optimized and when they're hitting home runs like this. So kudos to Lucas for doing his job, but this is what happens when you leave balls over the middle of the plate. These guys are superstars for a reason, and they treated the balls as such. And so, yeah, it was a bad outing for Lance. People talking about DFAing. I just say this. Who's going to pitch other than Lance Lynn? And do you think the last outing Lance Lynn needed to be DFA'd? No, of course not. Last two outings, you didn't think that. Like, yes, he's had a bad year overall. Second worst ERA in major leagues, but calm down. I even think that maybe you have to bring Lance Lynn back next year, not only because I think he can give you good value next year with $18 million deal, but Lucas is going to be a free agent. More likely, Michael Clevinger is going to be a free agent, and you don't have anything coming up in the minor leagues next year necessarily is going to be a starter. I mean, you can convert Crochet and or Jimmy Lambert, but you know those are projects. So Lance Lynn with a sure hand and probably better luck next year would be probably a better option to have him than to not have him on the team. I wouldn't be surprised if the White Sox option said, hey, yeah, let's do that, $18 million for next year and see what Lance can do for us. So because you don't have starting pitchers right now for the White Sox. So DFA, I get it. I get what you're talking about, people. But no, Lance Lynn has shown that he's a better pitcher than he has shown. I don't believe that he is washed. This team is just really tough to play against. And during the day when this ball, the weather was in the 80s, the ball was jumping today. So I don't give him a pass because this is more like of what he has done this year as a total. But also I've seen him go out there, throw zeros up there, and look like the dominant Lance Lynn as before. So I don't put too much stake into people saying DFA him because you can't. The White Sox literally cannot DFA him and feel good about it. I think he'll get picked up like that and actually be Lance Lynn on some other team. So, no, I'm not in for the DFA Lance talk.
Well, again, they're bad. I mean, that's the biggest takeaway. I mean, they can't let him go because they need somebody to pitch.
I mean,
you know, it's Lance Lynn or Jesse Schultens. I don't think Jesse Schultens is going to be that much better.
If you want him off the team, cool, trade him. I think he has trade value. But also, like I said, you don't have starting pitchers for next year, and you better get a starter back for Lance Lynn. So those are more likely conversations that I would willing to entertain than just straight DFAing Lance Lynn for the rest of the year and paying him the remainder of the $18 million that he is due.
Yeah.
Or the remainder of the contract from this season on.
We will have a show tomorrow, off day. I think it's at 4:30. 4:30 off day show for us in studio. So make sure you join not only Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer, at Vinny Duber, for not only the chit in the chat about the White Sox,
You're
but he's going to have an exclusive interview with Jake Berger. So exciting stuff. Make sure you join us. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at ActorWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. I guess before we end this completely, Vinny, is there anything else that we missed or didn't touch? What did we miss? Oh, it's Super Chat.
You did miss that.
Shout out to Robert.
Oh, he's
$5 super chat. Thanks, guys. You do great work. I wish it wasn't so miserable being a Sox fan.
My guy, Robert Daniel, he is part of the Two First Names Club. Me and Steven Nicholas and Robert Daniel.
And Anderson, Sean Anderson Severino.
Okay, I forgot you
too. So come on. I mean, and we can't be trusted?
I mean, I can't be trusted, but okay. Maybe Robert Daniel can.
I trust
him. Paid us $5.
Shout out to Robert Daniel. Is White Sox Tom? Is that a first name, last name? Is White Sox
no, White
a
Sox real is, first name? It's not a, no.
Oh, it's not a real first name. No. Okay. It's not a family name or anything.
If you name your kid White Sox, you deserve to lose your kid.
Herbs are real horrible to children today, so we're going to end the show.
That's why I
make
none.
Sure you're liking the video. We are at 27.
Don't let me procreate, friends.
Oh, boy. We are at 27 likes. Shout out Deonna Navarro. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Giolito right there, and you went to Deonna Navarro. Ridiculous.
Shout out Leury Garcia.
We're not there yet.
Shout out Ramon Castro. No, Leury wore 27 before he wore 28.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, that's Vinny. Follow him on Twitter at Vinny Dibber. That's Herb. You follow him on Twitter at ActionRoll23. I'm Sean. Follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to the chat. Thank you to Steve for producing the show. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at 4:30 for our Sox off-day show.